It's never too late to be who you wanna be, to say what you wanna say. It's never too late to leave if you wanna leave, or to stay.
Hello and welcome to Weekly Beats, the podcast in which two guys give you their perspective on the week in music. My name is Charlie.
Hey, it's Mark.
And this week on the show, we've got a double dose of music for you, as always. The first of which belongs to Lana Del Rey and her either fourth or fifth album, depending on who you're talking to. It is Lust for Life. It is out in stores now in your earphones. Let's talk about it, okay? And then later on in the show, we will be breaking down the highest ranking song on the Billboard Hot 100. This week, that honor belongs to French Montana, featuring Swae Lee, and their song Unforgettable is apparently taking the world by storm. We'll see just how good it is as we dissect it into 30-second tidbits later on in the show. We'll take some time to talk about other stuff we've been listening to this week as well, including the latest release from Tyler, the Creator. And Mark, I got the sweetest gift for you. I got a way we're going to tie all that together. You know how we're going to do that?
You got me something? You got me like a present, like an object?
I got you a physical, spiritual gift in the form of a human being presence on this podcast.
Oh my God.
Please welcome back to the show, Elliot.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, two claps is all she gets. Mm-hmm. Ellie, you were last on the show about a year ago, I think. We talked Avett Brothers.
Yep.
And we talked Aphex Twin and The Strokes. And was there somebody else in that episode?
No, I think that was about it.
Todd Terj.
It was a good ep. Oh, yeah, you're right. That Todd Terj album. That EP was out there, too. Baby, do you want a bump?
It's been a while.
It's been a long time. How have things been for you in the lead up since?
Been good. I've been listening to some music, trying to keep up with you, and just been anxiously waiting to be asked back onto this podcast.
Yeah.
And I kept getting turned down, so.
We kept saying, no, not this week.
Mm-hmm. But finally, I clawed my way to the top, and here I am.
Which is similar to Lana Del Rey, except she didn't claw her way to the top. She did something else.
What did she do?
Oh, yeah.
No, Mark, you don't get to ask that question.
It would get a bleep.
But you're a big Lana fan. That's why we want you on the show. You're a big Lana Del Rey fan. You know the whole discography. You're a resident expert on this lady, and we're here to talk new stuff.
Yep, that sounds about right. When you think resident expert,
yes,
that's me.
You can quote every song verbatim, lyric for lyric.
Yep.
When I think residential advisor, though, I think Charlie.
Okay. What does a residential advisor do exactly?
Like, when they go around the dorms and make sure no one is having a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it's like in a college.
Yeah.
Okay.
That fits him, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of a narc.
You're a little bit of a narc type, I think. A narcotype.
A narcissistic personality type.
Yeah. A narcissistic narcotype.
Yeah.
What else is wrong with you? Slow.
Oh, gosh. Let me get out my list.
Slow. Slow for sure. Slow in like a lot of different meanings of the word slow. Like, right. I'm really, really bad at driving a car at the speed limit. I'm always like 15 miles per hour under the speed limit.
Right.
I'm really slow to spell out things, like writing it out with a pencil and paper. It takes me a long time to write anything.
That's true.
I'm really slow to tie my shoes. I just never mastered that tactic.
He's really slow getting through this list.
Yeah. I could just keep going and going and going.
Yeah. High energy start to a pod, for sure.
Well, you know, Lana Del Rey is all about sitting in some darkness and thinking about Americana and the 50s and singing about it, right? So,
sweet, sweet nostalgia.
Let's just dial it back a couple octaves. And Mark, if you could also talk about an octave lower than you normally would too, that would probably be ideal.
That wasn't an octave lower. You just did it much slower.
Right.
Do you not know that?
Right.
No, it's fine.
Talking octave higher.
Draw the shades, Mark.
Oh man, that's the worst noise produced.
Okay,
by
let's not throat. Do that. Let's talk about Lana Del Rey. Here we are, The Lust for Life. Mark, this album is a big deal. Do you know why it's a big deal?
No, I don't.
Because she's smiling on the front.
Why is that? What's your point?
Because she's like the queen of darkness, right? She's all about that.
This is the first album that she smiled on her cover.
She's gloomy. She's always looking down or off to the side
very
or right into your hole.
Atmospheric and... She's smiling.
Here
she's
she is happy. Smiling, Mark. It's a game changer.
Did you say she's looking into your hole?
Yeah, your hole inside of you. We all have one.
I feel like she should be grimacing if she's looking into your hole.
It's not a physical hole. It's a spiritual hole inside of you. You
know? Stop saying hole, please.
Okay. But she...
It was her sophomore effort, Lana Del Rey, looking at your hole. Bro.
It's understandably a sophomore slump of an album. Mark, where are you coming from on this Lana Del Rey? How are you sitting hot on this one? Are you off to the side? Are you in that
say
hole,
normal phrases? What happened to you?
Are you coming in at a diagonal angle?
Yeah. What's with Lana?
Are you flitting around the edges of this thing, or are you sitting pretty in the hen piece?
In that hole. Are you in that hole, Mark?
I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't know. I've never listened to a Lana Del Rey album before.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Not even now.
What about singles?
Yeah, I did. I've heard Lana Del Rey before. I've just never listened to a full album.
Okay. Singles that you liked?
No.
None of them?
No.
Oh, Mark.
Ellie!
Okay,
man.
Why not? Why didn't you like them?
I don't know. I haven't really... This is the first time I've really thought about Lana Del Rey, to be honest. Like, this is really... You know, I've
good.
Heard her before and be like, ah. I've never critically considered it.
Time is now. Let's get into it, bud.
Okay.
What do you think?
Okay, no matter how hard I can try to deflect me from being the first view during this review, it won't work. So
the album, just the old album, old stuff.
Wait, just the old stuff?
Yeah,
he
old singles. What did you like?
I
haven't really heard it.
You don't know any of her old stuff?
Well, I know...
You're haranguing him.
Not really. Like, name some of them.
Video Games.
I know that.
Ride. Okay. National Anthem.
Nope.
Born to Die.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see The Great Gatsby?
Yeah.
She did Young and Beautiful, song in there. She also did you see Maleficent?
Is Young and Beautiful the one where Jay-Z talks about New York City?
No.
Okay. Then I don't remember it.
Okay. She sounds really great in it.
Okay.
She did Once Upon a Dream from Maleficent. That was a good one.
Okay.
And... Yeah.
I feel like that's the big stuff.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Ellie, you're a big fan.
I am.
Tell us why you're such a big fan.
I think that she is just really cool. Her songs lyrically are really, to me, they're deep. I mean, some people are probably going to make fun of me for that. But,
okay, well, what do you mean they're deep then? What makes them deep? What do you like about them?
They make me think.
Okay, good.
I can kind of just sit and kind of cultivate with them and...
Yeah.
Just kind of get lost in the moment. It's really groovy, and her voice is just super, just sexy. That's the only way I can
super sexy,
it.
Super sexy voice.
She's my lady crush.
Okay, is that a view that you think most of her fans might share, or is that just particular to you?
I think so. Yeah. I think a lot of people would agree with that. I mean, that's her style. It's very 60s with some hip-hop influence,
yeah.
And it's just the Lana style. I haven't heard other things that are really
yeah.
following along with that.
Because she's kind of an auteur. Like, she kind of does her thing. mm-hmm. she's got her groove and her style, and she's kind of been doing that for a hot while now, and she does that more than anybody else does.
Yeah.
She's not in a traditional category in that way. A pop star, but not in the way that, like, a Taylor Swift or a Nicki Minaj
might
be. No,
she's not out on the forefront. She definitely has, like, her own groupies and things like that.
Do they have a name?
No.
Lawnites?
No, I don't know.
Lawn gnomes? Lawn gnomes. That's a good one.
Rays of sunshine? Okay. I don't know.
Did you have a favorite album going into this one? One that you would put above the others?
Yeah, Born to Die.
Born to Die.
I would think a lot of people would agree. That's like the peak. And I was reading articles about it saying that Lust for Life is kind of the sequel of Born to Die.
Okay.
Whereas Ultraviolence and Honeymoon are more a darker tone, taking a different route.
Are there like alternate timelines in the Lana Del Rey discography? Like if you go back in time and like stop the moon from falling on Clock Town, do you get like this version of Lana Del Rey where everything is happier? Like did you kill Ganon? Did Lana kill Ganon?
That's a great question.
You'll have to wait until next episode to find out.
Okay. Maybe connection between Lana and the Hero of Time. We'll see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So interesting connection. Make that sequel talk with this album. The truck on the back of this album cover is the exact same truck on the back of the Born to Die cover as well. So there's maybe more indication that it is a successor, if not a direct sequel.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Why is she in front of cars all the time?
It's Americana, man. It's
and it's an old-timey car. So it goes back to like hearkening to an older time, very nostalgia.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's
She's
her zone.
So great.
She's in that zone. And also, this is the next album cover. She's looking right at you. Mm-hmm. Except in that one, she's glaring into your hole. This one, she's more welcoming and smiling. She's got flowers
in her
hair. She's
excited about your hole.
She's more excited about your hole now this time around.
Yeah.
Okay. And she announced this album a few months back. It's been a long build-up to it this year. The first single out of the gate was Love, which ends up being also the very first track on this thing. Let's start with Ellie and say, where do you put this thing in context? How does it slide in with the rest of Lana's discography?
It's really different.
Okay, how?
It's more upbeat. I mean, if you listen to her old stuff, it's very insular, very introspective, and she's talked about how like her previous albums have been way more about her and looking inward, and for the first time it's like she's woken up and is looking outward to the world, and so it's talking about other people and this generation and how they're dealing with things, and so it's definitely a different perspective.
Okay. Has she talked about love before in this kind of way? Like I think she's talked about ironic love or like sensual love, but this feels like a really good-hearted love song, like just feeling like really comfortable with somebody or feeling, young and in love and on top of the world. It feels a very uplifting, sweeping kind of love song, and I feel like that's not her normal song lyrical world.
When you say healthy relationships, you don't think Lana Del
Rey. Right, right.
I think, and I don't quote me on this because I might not have listened closely enough, this is the first time in all of her albums that she didn't use the phrase daddy at all.
Ooh.
So we're getting to a healthier spot in life.
Weirdly enough, I use the word daddy when I think about this album.
You put this album on and you think, oh, daddy.
Because I feel very distant from it.
Okay.
Oh.
You're not tapping into it?
Really sad.
No, I'm not tapping into that daddy. I'm also not tapping into the album too much.
Okay. Not this first track even at all?
Even at all. I feel like all these tracks, she creates a lot of wide open spaces. A lot of kind of deep synth stuff that just kind of lays the groundwork for her to be a ghost vocally in there. And I feel like it's like song after song that does that. And it's the kind of thing where it's like after 50 minutes in Lust for Life, I was like, okay, the chances of the next 30 minutes capturing me are low.
Yeah.
And I feel I don't know, maybe bored by it. But you're saying okay. This isn't anything like her other stuff? Like, this isn't in the style of her other albums?
I will say that it was seemed a bit more low tempo. Like, Born to Die, if you were listening to it, has more vocal flair and more upbeat background music and things like that. So it definitely keeps you more engaged. It's also shorter, I think. So this one, I will say, when I first listened to it, it definitely dragged a little for me. Like, some parts were definitely one note. But then when you go back into the re-listen, you can pick up the nuances with each song.
I mean, to be fair, it's an hour and 11 minutes.
That's a long time.
That's a really
and
long
time. Not only that, there's so many moments that are unnecessary.
Yeah, redundant.
Like the A$AP Rocky. To have two A$AP Rocky features, one of which is more an A$AP Rocky song than Lana Del Rey, in a row, to me is just like padding. Like, I don't understand. Like, this could have ended way sooner.
I'm glad you mentioned that one, Mark, because that's maybe the area I want to get into first. One of the most interesting aspects of this album for me is here's a Lana album that is now stuffed full of features, and features from all kinds of folks from all manner of music. And to have some rap influence here is, okay, interesting. She's maybe expanding her sound a bit, and she definitely has some hip-hop stylings in her production, especially on that first album. Mm-hmm. But to play both those songs with the same featured artist back to back on this song, I mean, they're not similar tracks. They're both pretty different, but it does feel kind of like a retread of a similar idea here. I guess I want to know from you, Ellie, how do you enjoy these tracks? Do you think they work in her style? You're not necessarily a big hip hop fan, but do you like the way she's bringing in that aesthetic into her own style and playing with it?
Yeah, I am totally not, like, a rap fan at all. So this one, like, she's never had features before on any of her albums. So this was definitely a shock to see that probably a solid third feature somebody.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. If I had to pick between the two, I'd probably lean more towards Summer Bummer. I don't know why. I don't really like either, but...
I agree with that. I think at least Summer Bummer has a mood to it, and Groupie Love is just, like, frivolous.
Groupie Love, there's a lot. It was, like, two-thirds of the way through the song before you even get to the rap feature.
Yeah,
right.
And it just seemed a lot of wandering vocals, which she does, but I think it definitely could have been more purposeful.
Yeah.
Just very quickly, let's play a little excerpt from each of those things. Here is Summer Bummer. Sort of a Travis Scott thing going on there, Mark, huh?
Yeah, and very little Lana Del Rey in that song.
Yeah, and I like the wet underneath it. I mean, that's a 4.5 minute song, and the rap verse takes maybe, 45 seconds? So it's not like it does feel kind of slapped on there.
Yeah.
But I agree that the length is long. It's a long album. There's some cool stuff. I think I can get into it more than Mark does, certainly. But it does feel like you could cut 4 tracks off this thing easily and not lose a second of the mood.
But I do feel like her real fans... obviously, like, and this goes for any album too, would just eat it up and be happy that it's an hour and 11 minutes. Like, I can put this on, clean my whole house, and still come back and enjoy like a third of it and feel like I'm just going back into it. Like, I don't mind the length, but
you're also a fan.
I'm also a really big fan of hers. Yeah.
Okay.
It's supposed to have a languid pace to it.
Yeah.
Like, that's her style.
Okay.
So
I would say of the tracks on here that I would cut, White Mustang is out. It's barely even a song. One of the two A$AP Rocky songs is out. God Bless America or When the World Was at War, one of those is out because they're basically the exact same thing. Cut Heroin, cut Change,
ouch.
Keep one of those down at the bottom.
God. Why don't you just gut its spirit?
Cut it. Because we get it. And also,
did you name Tomorrow Never Came in that?
No.
Okay, because that's a must cut for sure.
Okay.
If there was a possibility of like reaching through there and shaking some sense into you.
But the songs kind of come in like clusters, right? So we get Love and we get Lust for Life. And both of those are kind of similarly paced, similar strong structure. There's a romantic bond there. 13 Beaches and Cherry seems like more traditional.
See,
Lana.
Cut 13 Beaches.
Oh, I would what? Also cut 13 Beaches. I'd her 13 just like, beaches. Wow, I had to drive around so long before I found the beach I could hang out at. Paparazzi yeah. sure are tough. I love life. Do you guys find it weird that in 13 Beaches, there's essentially two different points that she's making parallel to one another in the song?
What's that?
Like, on one hand, it's a song about the paparazzi, and on the other hand, it's a completely different song about her loneliness.
Hmm.
And but those ideas can be intertwined, she can't but she doesn't yeah. actually make the connection between the two ideas lyrically, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
Hmm. Blew so your get, minds.
We get that traditional kind of Lana sound there. Then we get the rap tracks. And then we get the Coachella, God Bless America, and The World Was at War, which are all kind of like her Americana nostalgia tracks. Mm-hmm. And then we get our feature tracks back to back. And then we get the outro tracks, which takes literally 15 minutes to get to the final three tracks. And that's a crazy long amount of time for all of those three tracks. Heroin is way too long. Change it also is fine, but it's way too long. So many of these tracks just go on longer than they should. I think 3.5-4 minutes, boom, do your thing, get out of there.
Well, why don't
I think you're wrong.
I have an idea. Why don't we go to a high point on the album and then play a clip and start there?
Okay.
Do you have an idea
can
for
we
us
all
to start,
agree
Mark?
On a high point of the album.
I mean, well, I think the lead single, Lust yeah. for Life, is probably obvious starting point.
That's Love. He said Lust for Life.
Do you mean Lust for Life or do you mean Love? Because Lust for Life is not as good.
Either way, whatever. Okay. I just mean like a point that is not as divisive, so we can talk about the positive qualities as well.
All right, let's do Love. Okay. I think she's got a great voice.
Sure.
I love
agree
this
with that.
Song.
I think that's a really good chorus.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really good production.
I think she does things vocally in a very specific way that other artists don't do. And I feel like if I were to listen to her more widely appreciated stuff, like I feel like Born to Die was pretty critically loved. I might have a greater appreciation for her as an artist. Because I feel like having more variety in the sound will give her more ability as a vocalist to express.
Right. Yeah. And what's tough with like auteurs that have that such a definite sound with like Lana.
Are you saying auteurs wrong?
No, I'm saying
I've never heard that phrase.
Auteurs.
And I think it's not real.
Okay. So let's say that you're a musician that has a very definite sound. It's like that's
what's
your
my
thing.
Sound?
Right. Your sound is straight. Beef sizzling on a grill. That's what I think of when I think of Mark Skalski.
Ooh, okay.
Let us consider that the fans of Lana Del Rey are going to be more attuned to the subtleties of her song curation, right? So what might sound to an outsider like another Lana Del Rey song might have a whole lot else going on inside it that's different from previous tracks. And I think... not saying that I am that person because I'm not, but listening to some of the singles off Born to Die, those have a much more up-tempo beat, lots more going on in the production sample-wise, very hip-hop influenced, you can feel. And this is much more languid, slow-moving, attempting to be, I think, more emotional, more sweeping.
I think this was meant to have a bigger message to it. It was more message, whereas yeah. Born to Die was more...
Okay.
production content.
Yeah, that's fair. What's the message on this album then? What do you think it's trying to say?
I think she's trying to talk about being hopeful. I mean, this whole song, Love, is saying, hey, you new generations, you got to take up the mantle. I mean, things are kind of going down the drain. We need to be able to just be hopeful and be strong through it. So,
okay.
I mean, the whole thing is just every song seems to have a specific message to it.
Yeah.
I think this is, I mean, it going back to where she was talking about how it's way more insular, it was all relationships and all how they've screwed with her and just drinking and partying and things like that. Whereas this one seems to have a better purpose to it. Like mm-hmm. she's saying, don't worry, it's going to be okay. It might not look like it, but it will be.
I think that's fair.
But think about how she makes that point, though, especially later in the album. There are points on this thing where it's like I'm viscerally annoyed by it. Like the song Coachella, Woodstock in My Mind.
Yeah.
There's a lyric in there where she goes, I just feel bad for all the kids who are just dancing and they're inheriting this world. And I think about how I've never in my entire life been able to easily afford a ticket to Coachella. Like, I've never once in any point have I felt I would have to plan my entire fiscal year around being able to attend that concert. So the idea that she's sitting there, also pretty wealthy, and looking at just hordes of wealthy kids who are just there, you know, by birth, and be like, oh, what's going to happen to the Coachella kids? Like, that is an uninteresting way to tackle that problem, I think. And I feel the same about beautiful people, beautiful problems.
Yeah, that one annoys me. The Coachella one, not so much, because she gave an interview and said that she wrote it right after hearing about all the North Korean action with the missiles and things. And so she harkened back to Woodstock with all the Vietnam and turmoil there. And I think it goes beyond the people attending the concert. I think it goes to, like, any child or any person being influenced by it around the world. But that's just my opinion.
I agree with that. I think that's how it's intended. But to use that as the lens with which you express that idea, it speaks to the bubble that she exists in.
Yeah, that's true. And I will say, her song titles this album have not been great.
Mm-hmm. You don't really want a lot of dashes in the middle of your sentence title?
Just, it's a lot. Ugh. Make your point.
And that's kind of the way I feel about the album with its length. You know, like, make your point, get in, get out, get going. That's kind of...
Again, I don't mind length, but the song titles, it just screams, you couldn't come up with a concise title, so you need to put the whole chorus in your song title.
Mm-hmm. Also, Coachella is kind of the worst, too, right?
Seriously. It reminds me of Katy Perry's most popular single recently.
Firework.
Chain to the Rhythm.
No, that one?
There's stuff on there and on here, the idea being we haven't been paying attention to the world and it's been getting crappy because we've not been participating in it. When the world was at war, we kept dancing is essentially the exact same idea.
That's what but it has a totally different tone to it,
I agree. I think it's a better song. But I'm just saying, it's interesting comparing those artists. And I feel like they're right, you know, that people have been too apolitical and not paying attention until it was like too late. But I don't necessarily feel like these are good enough as call to arms tracks either.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about God Bless America and all the beautiful women in it, Mark?
Not great, but I'm not sure I 100% have digested the song and what it's trying to do.
Question, is it the best use of gunshots and a beat since Paper Planes by MIA?
Unquestionably.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Also, who's shooting in that instance? Is it just the ladies, or is it America?
it's like a mixed message, because that's very American, I guess, in your song to have gunshots, but I don't know if that's ironic or not.
She does like gunshots in her songs.
Yeah, she's used it before.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe not shots, but like loading the clip. I don't know anything about guns.
So. Gun noises.
Yeah.
What about chainsaws? You like chainsaws?
No. Maybe that's next album.
Okay.
It would have been so funny if you responded, hell yeah, love them.
Her whole album, Lumberjack Nightmare.
How did she feel about your hole in that one?
How does she feel about what?
Your hole in that one.
She's trying to cut it down.
Oh no.
Did you see that she is removing all American flags in her shows now because it reminds her of Donald Trump?
What?
Cool.
She's taking out, because she's big into like Americana stuff,
big
right?
Into like her whole music video for Ride has her holding an American flag, standing on a moving motorcycle with like a very attractive guy.
Riding the motorcycle.
Yeah.
You said attractive guy, and then you couldn't figure out what the word ride means.
Yeah, I said attractive guy, then my mind blew.
Is it the features that are wrong, or is it the songwriting? Like, what's doing it wrong for you?
Well, honestly, the only thing that I really feel strongly about right now in my whole life, I just can't be bothered to care about anything. Everything is crumbling. But the only thing I can bother to feel about this album is that it's one more 70s, late 60s, like, reclamation effort. And I honestly, this has been the worst trend in music that I have had, where the Dan Auerbach album comes out, and it might as well not exist. The Foxygen album comes out, and again, it's just pretty much they're writing songs that have been written. They're practically cover songs. Like, I played, my mother had me over for dinner the other night. I visited home. And I said, hey, have you noticed a lot of songs and artists are borrowing heavily from the 70s? Because, you know, she grew up in the 70s. And I played her a song from that Dan Auerbach album.
Yeah.
And she thought it was a cover. Like, that's how little is happening. Like, they're just writing the same songs. They're just pointless references. Arcade Fire's
Auerbach's
new album is garbage. I'm not supposed to talk about that till the next episode. But it's just like every single album that is doing this is just, it's not for a good reason. It's not prescient, you know? Like, it feels like the only people making efforts to talk about the world that way are people that don't actually have to deal with the realities of the world. Hmm. Right? Listen to something like Damn or Run the Jewels 3. Those sound right now. Like, those sound of the moment. They sound like they mean something. And to have Sean Lennon, which, like, I just, him being godfathered into music, it's terrible. Like, there's no need for him to be in music. And to have him pretend to be his dad on a fake Beatles song? Like, I just don't understand the appeal.
Yeah. I'll say, Mark, I don't have a vitriolic reaction like you do. I think it's fine.
I'm so upset.
But I will take umbrage with one of the lyrics where she mentions playing her favorite records, Lennon and Yoko. Mark, you're a big Yoko Ono fan, right?
No.
But she says, isn't life crazy now I'm singing with Sean?
Yeah.
And that's like a self-reflection, like all of a sudden a moment of realization. And that, honestly, that one line kind of kills the whole song for me.
She did mention, she was like, I knew I had that lyric of mentioning John and Yoko, and she's like, well, I'll just call up Sean and see if he wants to be on it.
But you don't have to call attention to it on the song lyric, you know? Like, just put the Yoko and the Lennon line, and it's fine, and we get that. It's more ambiguous, I guess. It's not, like, beating you over the head, like, I'm so lucky! It's like a very Taylor Swiftian thing to do, where you're like, I'm here with my favorite person, and we're having a great time. And that makes me feel like you're not having a great time when you tell me that. I don't know.
Yeah.
You love that song.
I love that song.
You love that song.
It's my favorite song on the whole album.
Holy cow. Why do you love it so much?
Because, hypothetically, theoretically, if we were ever to not be in a relationship, that would be the top one on my breakup playlist.
Why?
Because
that's amazing.
Because it's so nostalgic. The idea of, I adored you, and I went to sit in the rain on this bench because I loved you so much, and it never came. The moment never came. Like, that's so, sitting in the rain, waiting for the person you love is so heartbreakingly sad. I could totally see myself, not, like, literally see myself, because we're very happy together, but in my mind space, I could see myself just being like, I totally feel like that, too. So, but no, we're very happy.
Thanks for emphasizing that.
Did you say on your MySpace? You can't imagine that happening?
My MySpace. Oh, I wasn't allowed to have a MySpace.
Why not?
Why not?
My mom thought that only inappropriate things happened on it.
Well, she wasn't wrong. Let's play a little bit of that track so everyone else can hear it.
What you thinking? Penny for your thoughts. Those lights are blinking on that old jukebox. But don't ask me why.
Okay, he kind of sounds just like John Lennon, though, right?
He sounds like someone impersonating John Lennon.
But if you're going to get someone to impersonate him, I think that's a pretty good stand-in.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Do you like Stevie Nicks' feature better than this one?
I guess. It's not crazy audible. I mean, like, I didn't listen to it, and she jumped out at me the way Sean Lennon did. Also, what balls? Calling your kid Sean Lennon? John Lennon calling his kid Sean Lennon? That's hilarious.
I'm John Lennon. Here's my kid, Sean Lennon.
Just ridiculous to do that.
At least Sean's a real name.
That's true. I actually know a kid I went to high school with. He has had his own kid. His name is Sean with an A-W, and he named his kid with an E-A.
No.
Which is like, what a decision that is.
He's also Sean, but he's not a junior.
Right. There you go.
I want to keep that junior tag off him.
Did you think about your kid's name for more than 4 minutes?
Yeah.
I thought for weeks I came up with Sean.
Let's talk about another one of my highlights on here. This is actually one we haven't talked about at all yet. One that I think works pretty well from some good production is actually In My Feelings. I think that's a really good track. Let's play a little bit of that. And I think I like it just because it is the most up-tempo song on the record, and when everything else is so sprawling and long and extensive, it's good to have a little bit of up-tempo stuff. The production on here is more similar with the Born to Die stuff, which I think is more palatable. I like that track. I think it's buried in the middle and kind of glossed over.
Yeah, I'd call it a filler track.
Yeah, but I like it a lot.
I think also what you like about it, I'm going to maybe take a guess here, it's that fun little backup vocal part she has.
Yeah, you're totally right, man. I love that.
It jumped out at me and I was like, this is really a good track, but I do love that she sounds like a synthesizer.
Yeah, I love the layering with the different kind of effects going on with her voice there. Totally.
Also the image so of her, it has a good, she's running and smoking. I don't know. Yeah, I kind of like that.
She's also PSA. She's also crying while she's so.
Oh, okay.
That's a good juxtaposition.
That's a good
justification.
Get that cigarette smoke out of my face.
Get that cigarette smoke out of my face. That's a good lyric.
Yeah.
Weekend's on this thing. The Weekend sounds like The Weekend.
That song has grown on me a
Wait,
lot.
Wait, so, can I, sorry, time. Really quick, I want to interrupt. It says gunning in the lyrics.
Crying while I'm gunning?
Yeah, you, I
what
think
were you thinking?
She doesn't say crying while I'm
No, she doesn't. It says gunning every verse.
I could have sworn it said.
Maybe it just reminded you of times.
Maybe. I've also have done that before.
So Lust for Life featuring The Weeknd.
The Weeknd.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this song goes on forever. This song has very little energy.
But I like it. Yeah. I love The Weeknd's voice.
He's great.
He has a really pure voice.
It's rare to see the lady take the low part and the guy take the high part.
She is. She's just so sexy. I can't stop saying it. Every time I listen to her.
I'm like a hotness meter, like 1 to 10. How hot is this album?
Like a 7.5, but okay. She's always a 10. All right. So average that.
Is there another album that's hotter than this one?
Yeah. Born to Die.
Born to Die is hotter than this one? Yeah. Why is it hotter?
For me, I like the destructive relationship aspect of it.
And she says daddy.
I don't like the daddy part because that freaks me out, but I do like the beats in it.
Well, what about the fact that she changes like what the way her voice, she can do like higher stuff too. And yeah, very rarely on this album does she get out of the lower register.
Yeah, and I think that's my biggest issue with it. Like, that's why I like some of the, even just listening to In My Feelings, like she does kind of that.
Some modulation.
Yeah. I'm just moving my hand up and down. I'm glad you came up with the word for it.
That's what I'm here for. Mark, you into The Weeknd here?
You know, one more Weeknd feature.
Another day.
I think this track is okay. I don't mind this track.
I like it a lot. The video is kind of stupid, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, what happens in the video?
It's just they're hanging out on the Hollywood sign. It's all like red and gray and...
Right. Okay. It just reminds me. I just can't help it. But like calling back to the Hollywood sign as if that is a symbol of anything at this point. Like it's just one more piece of Americana. And I get that that's maybe her aesthetic. But I just don't understand why that's if she wants to make a bigger statement about the world, just acknowledging that things are hard and she goes to concerts and worries about the people there. Like, and we're sitting on the Hollywood sign. Isn't that a symbol of classic Americana? I don't really understand the overarching theme here. I don't know what she's trying to do.
I think she could definitely find better kind of pillars that everyone, more people could relate to. I think the Hollywood sign and like the 13 beaches, I just think Malibu, that's very East Coast or West Coast LA, so it's hard for people to relate to it. Mm-hmm. If she talked about, I don't know, McDonald's.
Or like Diet Mountain Dew or something.
Diet Mountain Dew. That's a great one.
Yeah. It's weird. I was talking about this with Charlie when we were talking about the new Dan Auerbach album, how listening to that and every single thing feels like note for note cribbed from these classic 70s like soft rock AM radio artists. And I'm thinking like, well, why is it that artists are having a difficult time bringing that sound into the modern day like Daft Punk did? But then you think, no, like the Black Keys literally did that. Like that's what the Black Keys did. And I feel the same way. The only Lana Del Rey track I can think of offhand is Video Games. And that feels very 70s to me, but it also feels very now. So why are all these artists just deciding to cut off all of the most contemporary and interesting parts and then just ending at this, we're doing a cover of what happened before? I don't understand why this is happening to me. Why is this happening to me?
I don't know. I think it could just be a sign of the times.
Maybe they're out of ideas.
Everybody's like looking back and thinking, hey, wow, we really took that time for granted, didn't we? Mm. That was a simpler time. Let's steal some of that mojo and maybe bring it into the 21st century. And maybe it's just not meshing because we're, I don't know, culturally not there yet. I don't know. I'm just saying words at this point.
No, that's a really good point. I actually hadn't thought of it that way. And that it does, all of these albums feel very celebratory. And they're all making social points that are very, very angry or wanting things to change, but they all feel genuinely happy, which I've always tried to find the words to describe why that is. And I think you may have just done that for me.
You're just trying to find a reason why this isn't a punk album.
Why do you think that?
Because you love punk music. You just want Lana Del Rey to like to walk out on stage.
I love cats and how they sound. Yeah. What's your point, Charlie?
I don't have one. I don't know. Do you have anything else to say about the album, Ellie? Any other tracks you want to get into?
I like both Heroin and Change. I can't for the life of me remember what Get Free sounds like, but I'm sure I like it once I listen to it.
Get Free is the one that's got the chorus to Creep. Let's play a little bit.
Darkness from the earth. This is my command.
There it is. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here.
It's a stretching moment.
Yeah, it doesn't quite fit exactly, but it's pretty close. Mm-hmm. I love Creep.
I also really like Creep.
I don't know. I really like this album. The more I listen to it, I mean, like I said, Lana's great for just lounging around. Great background music to just do some work. I am always in a Lana mood. I think back to the first show I was on with the Ava Brothers. I have to be in a folky mood to listen to them. But any time of the day, I can say, well, I'll just throw in some Lana and do the dishes.
They're neutral.
Yeah, she's just...
Yeah. I will agree that this album is a grower. That the more you listen to it, the better it gets.
Cool.
Cool.
I have disdain in my heart for it.
Well, then I think you should listen to Born to Die, Mark, all the way through. And maybe we can, you guys can bring him back in another year and we can talk about
it. We could do a back to school special.
Oh, we could totally do that.
Deep dive.
That'd be good.
Let me just play a couple tracks off this thing for you, Mark. Very different sounding, yeah?
That's great.
That's probably my favorite song that she's ever done.
That's off Born to Die. Sounds great. It's National Anthem.
All right. I will listen to Born to Die. I give you my word.
Just listen to the original one, not the Paradise Edition. I mean, it's great. If you want to like get more songs off of it, then keep going for the expander packs. But
the expansion packs? Oh, is there DLC on this album? Man. I just wish, Mark, for once, they would release an album that has all the content on the disc, you know?
Oh, my God, I know. And, like, the thing is, you know that they have these preloaded singles that, you know, before the album comes out, you can already buy
them.
Gotta
go through CD Zone if you want to get the 13th track on this album. Day of DLC, Mark.
Listen to Blockbuster Night Part 2. I'm so sick.
All right, let's transition into the highlight reel. Mark, what are your highlights from Lust for Life?
What was that? How the world was changed?
When what the world was at war, we kept dancing, Mark.
Ah, of course. That's what I'm going to pick.
That's a good choice, Mark.
That's a good one.
I feel like even though that isn't technically my favorite song on the album, I think that it's the one... You know, when we're at this period in history where we are now, I think that that track illustrates a certain part of the discourse going on in America. So I want to take it.
Cool.
I will say it's interesting. The minute I listened to it, I immediately thought of Katy Perry's song. And hers, Katy Perry's, is definitely like a negative take on it, whereas this one is optimistic.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we'll keep dancing. It'll be okay. Where she's like, oh, we kept dancing and we kept our eyes closed. And so... Yeah. I always side with Lana.
Lana's not chained to the rhythm. Oh. Cool.
In a bubble.
In a bubble? Bubble?
Bubble?
I think I'm going to take two. I think I'm going to take In My Feelings, and I already took Love from the single that was out. I think Love is really strong. I think Love is still the best song on this thing. It's a shame she blows it all on the first track, but I do think the rest of the album is... enjoyable. You know, I listened through it. I think it's too long. I think it could be shortened, but I don't have any antagonistic feelings toward her or any hard feelings. I think it's just maybe too similar, too much in one go. But In My Feelings and Love are the two tracks I'm going to take. That's it for me.
So In My Feelings, just because you think she sang crying while I'm coming?
Yeah, that's why. Okay. That lyric especially.
Okay.
Ellie, your highlights.
I'm taking... What's the max amount?
You can go four if you want.
Okay. I want Love.
Okay.
And let's see. I think I did pick When the World Was at War, We Kept Dancing.
Okay.
Tomorrow Never Came. Definitely my first one. And then I like Change a lot.
Okay.
So those are my four.
Taking four.
Yep.
All right.
I would take them all and just break the rules of your podcast because I don't conform to your rules. So actually, I'm just going to take them all.
Okay. That's pretty punk.
I do what I can.
All right, that's Lust for Life from Lana Del Rey. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we will talk about that other song on the Billboard, so stay tuned. Don't be a bummer, babe. Be my undercover lover, babe. All right, we are back and ready to dive into the latest offering from the Billboard. This week, it's French Montana, and the song is Unforgettable. This is not a cover of that jazz standard, right?
If it is, that would be incredible.
Yeah. Mark, do you know French Montana at all?
Personally, but not in terms of music.
Okay, Ellie?
Only that he dated Khloe Kardashian.
Ooh. I think I don't like him.
Which people feel strongly about the Kardashian, like different Kardashians? Are they not one undulating model entity? They're like different people.
Yeah, because Kim got out; she's married to Kanye, so she's safe. Oh. She's gotten away from it.
I picture the Kardashians like the end of the video game Inside.
Ooh, yeah, just that blob.
Yeah,
sorry, spoilers for Inside, but
and for the Kardashians.
Although, really, just saying the blob is not really. Like implying anything, like you don't really know what's going on, like the blob, like you don't know what that means.
You'll have no idea.
Yeah, but it's an experience, man. I'll tell you what.
Inside cast.
Okay. All right. You want to talk about the song? Let's play some song. French Montana. Here we go. Okay.
Quick disclaimer. My phone is not working. So I'm just listening to the song through Skype with you right now. And it sounds a whole lot like French Montana performed the song in a fire hall.
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
Okay. Okay, good. I'm still hearing it.
All right. So we got Swae Lee on all that. That was not French Montana at all. Just Swae Lee.
Okay.
And he's from Ray Sremrod?
Right.
Is he?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Because it's the Black Beatles guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of hard to get a sense of what I even just heard.
Kind of up-tempo, kind of dancey, kind of...
Pretty generic beat.
Yeah, I would say pretty standard.
Okay.
According to Genius Annotations, this chorus was actually derived from the first verse of Swae Lee's demo version, which also featured WizKid. So I don't know if it's actually a Swae Lee track that he made.
Okay, what is the chorus so far?
That's the chorus. I bet we just heard.
No, but I couldn't hear the words so good. Could you read me the chorus?
I'm going to read it. It's not good enough for me since I've been with you. It's not going to work for you. Nobody can equal me. I'm going to sip on this drink when I'm f***ed up. I should know how to pick up. I'm going to catch the rhythm while she push up against me. Ooh, is she tipsy? I've had enough convo for 24. I peeped you from across the room. Pretty little body dancing like go-go. Hey, and you are unforgettable, and I need to get you alone. Oh, hey, why not? A f***ing good time. Never hurt nobody. I got a little drink, but it's not Bacardi. If you love the girl, then I'm so sorry. I got to give it to her like we in a marriage. Oh, like we in a hurry. No, I won't tell nobody. You're on your level too. Trying to do what lovers do.
That sounds like a testimony.
Wow. Okay. The line, I've had enough convo for 24. The annotation reads, Swae thinks he has had enough to chat about to talk to this girl for a full day, 24 hours. Swae Lee was also born on June 7th, 1993. So on June 2017, he will turn 24.
That's my birthday. I'm 1 year older than him exactly.
Yeah, you are.
I love this song.
You're Swae Lee in a different life. You're Swae Lee.
Yeah.
the line Pretty Little Body Dancing Like Go-Go. It says go-go dancers are hired by a club / rave to entertain a crowd.
Good point. Good point.
He says a good time never hurt nobody. Sway forgoes alcohol for lean. Quavo spit a similar line on Migos' song Came to Party. I came to party, I drink lean, no Bacardi.
What's lean?
What's lean?
It's that purple drink.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
I'm going to go on Urban Dictionary and see if I can find it out. Lean, according to UrbanDictionary.com, is a popular drink originated from Houston, Texas. It was the following formula.
Oh.
Promethazine with codeine, original Sprite soda, and Jolly Rancher candies.
Okay.
Lean does not contain any form of alcohol. It's just straight codeine.
Great. Huh. Good time never hurt nobody. What a weird lyric to have now.
About codeine?
Just a good time never hurt nobody?
Yeah. He's right.
He sounds like he's an assaulter. You know, like it's just such a weird point to make.
Yeah. We've also got this line. I got to give it to her like we in a marriage. He says a double entendre on this one line. Sway Lee knows that for the wedding with this girl, he got to give her that D like Big Sean said before, or he got to get a ring for her to settle the union like the Civil War. Proposed suggestion. Historically, women were supposed to be virgins when they got married. And this line, Sway, means he's going to have sex with her as if it's her first time in a marriage. Proposed suggestion. This line, along with the following line, oh, like we in a hurry, mean the same thing. Married people don't have marathon sex, usually because they got kids and those things don't know how to knock. Sorry, that says those things don't knock how to knock. So in other words, he's making their sexual encounter quick for whatever reason.
Well, haters do hate for whatever reason, so I can understand why you would feel that way.
Classic callback. Man, Black Beatles is like one of the best songs from the
ever, ever.
Can I say that?
It's one of the best songs ever from anyone at any point.
Oh, man. Okay. Do you have anything else to say here?
No.
Well, I feel like we didn't even get to the good part yet, yeah. So let's just
Let's hear him deliver it from his own mouth.
All right. Come on now. Okay, we're a minute into the song and we still have not heard French Montana.
Thank God. Sway Lee sounds like he's 15.
Yeah. He's 23. 24
no,
now.
He just turned 24.
24.
Yeah. Duh.
I can do math.
Oh, a braggart over here.
When's the song start?
That sounded good through the speakers. I was hearing some pianos going
yeah,
down.
Yeah, production seems fine, but it's billed as a French Montana song.
Yeah, it seems like a really bumpin' elevator song right now.
It hasn't really kicked in the full gear yet.
Yeah.
That is the most fun genre I've ever heard of.
Bumpin' elevator music.
Press that level 14, just ride that. Oh, yeah.
No, that would not be on the playlist.
You were unforgettable.
Yeah, so I don't know. That sounds pretty good to me so far, but then again, I'm not really hearing it. So maybe that's why.
Maybe an indicator of the quality.
Perhaps.
Man, I don't know. I just don't have that whole much more to say about Sway Lee in the opening here. Do you want to just press on?
Yeah, go for it.
Drama got the ooze. Ship the whole crew to the cruise. Doing shit, yo.
All right, that's French Montana, right?
There he is.
Okay.
At a minute 20 into the song, he comes in.
There you go. Why is that a problem, though?
Because it's his song. I feel like he's got to be on that hook, man.
Mm-hmm. You're a fan of Kanye West.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know.
No.
No, you're right. I'm sorry. If I hear another artist say Uzi in their song, I'm going to be upset.
Yeah? I'm
just talking with those Uzis, man.
That's the coolest gun of all.
No, it's cool when you're in kindergarten. It's the only name of a gun you could think of.
It's like a fun little pistol, but you shoot a bunch of the bullets at once instead of just the one.
So the French Montana verse reads, "Feeling like I'm fresh out, boozy. They want the drama, got the Uzi. Ship the whole crew to the cruise ship. Doing you don't even see in movies. Ride with me, boss. I got a hard head, but her ass soft. She want that last name with the ring on it. Because I pulled out a million cash, told her plank on it."
It's terrible.
That's pretty funny.
We got certified annotations from the mouth himself, from French Montana.
From Little French Bert.
Lil Uzi is signed to DJ Drama. So if that punchline went over their head, that's exactly what it is. For the whole part. For the whole thing.
For the whole like chorus?
The whole verse he just read.
Oh, okay.
That's the only annotation from the man himself.
If it went over your head, then tough.
You got it.
Unapologetic. Unlike the bassoon-loving Lil Yachty, who was very apologetic.
Okay, for real though, I thought for sure a cello was that thing that Squidward played, and they listened to it like 30 times. They didn't tell me anything, so really it's on them. I know it's a flute.
Ellie, have you heard that lyric before? That Lil Yachty lyric?
I have not, and it makes it all the better when
she
Charlie
blow me like
it.
A cello. It's pretty good, right?
So that song or that lyric went through probably multiple people.
Yep.
That's great.
Right. So then on Lil Yachty's annotation for it, he wrote a whole thing apologizing, saying he knows what a cello is, but no one else told him it wasn't an instrument.
Can you imagine how uncomfortable that would be? That's a big instrument.
But also, like, how do you do that? How do you say that?
How do you say it?
No, like, how do you, like, actually just say it, you know?
Right.
How you actually say it.
How do you actually say it?
Blow me like a cello. Yeah. That's how you actually say it.
What does it mean to be boozy? Like, B-O-O-S-I-E, not like...
Bougie. I still don't know what bougie means.
Boozy. Boozy badass, American rapper. What is he, 16? No, he had some music out.
I would think, oh, I guess it's not with a Z, is it?
No.
Well.
Boozy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know anything about anyone.
According to UrbanDictionary.com, boozy is a description of someone who is not cool to be around or annoying.
Oh. I relate to
also,
that.
Also, what's he fresh out of? Feeling like I'm fresh out or what?
That's a good question.
Feeling like I'm fresh out, boozy. They want the drama, got the Uzi. Ship the whole crew to the cruise ship.
My question is, ride with me, boss.
Boss.
Is he calling himself boss? Because I feel like in his own song, he should be calling himself boss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, or is he referring to
his
someone,
boss?
Yeah.
Ride with me, boss.
Hey, I'm hitching the ride with boss. We're going to the cruise ship.
Ride with me. Boss.
Yeah, but if he is calling himself boss in that line, it's a little bit like laughing at your own joke. He's like, ride with me. Boss. That's pretty gross.
Boss.
Yeah, I feel like I had this problem with Black Beatles too, though. Speaking of Ray Stremond, I feel like
where it just gets worse as time goes on.
Like, the beat is amazing. The they wrap the song around the best parts of the lyrics, but like the more the verses go on, the more you realize that I feel like they're maybe a little in over their heads, or like what they're writing is so thoughtless.
Yeah. And okay. So here's my other question again. with these kind of up-and-coming rappers, I have no idea. These are just lines. He's not making any kind of claim. He's not telling a story. I don't even get the sense he's talking to one individual person.
Yeah.
He's just saying things that sort of rhyme together.
And they're really juvenile, too.
Like, well, that's par for the course.
Well, but still, like, a seventh grader would come up with, I got a hard head, but her ass soft.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like...
And it's also, like, just a series of, like, of brags that are unrelated, you know? Like,
right.
It's not even, like, I'm a sexual monster, or, like, man, I'm such a hustler. It's just a bunch of generic kind of boasts and stuff.
Like, be consistent.
Because you think about, there's a lot of, you can get a lot of depth out of immaturity, I think. And I think about Chance the Rapper, and he never once shies away from a fun and stupid pun. But almost always, there's more to what he has to say. And even when he's being immature, he says some kind of beautiful things in an immature way. You know, my daughter's just like, see, you can't see her. That's like really fun. Like, I kind of feel the same way about all of the stuff that Sway has produced so far. And I also feel like all of the beats have been great. Like, I feel like this beat is great.
Which yeah,
is how
I agree.
It's like passing as awesome, I think, to people.
Yeah. My favorite Chance the Rapper lyrics are actually his guest verse, not in Kanye's song, but in Action Bronson's Baby Blue.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Do you know this one?
Yeah.
It's really good. I'm going to read it real quick. I hope you get a paper cut on your tongue from a razor in a paper cup. I hope every soda you drink already shaken up. I hope your dreams dry like raisins in the baking sun. I hope you're all saggy in your early 20s. I hope there's always snow in your driveway. I hope you never get off on Fridays and you work at a Fridays that's always busy on Fridays. I hope you win the lottery and lose your ticket. I hope it's Ben and Socrates poop all up in your kitchen. I hope the zipper on your jacket gets stuck and your headphones short and your charger don't work and you spill on your shirt. I hope your tears don't hurt and I can smile on your face. Cut my losses out loud, change my locks to a fade. I hope you happy. I hope you happy. I hope you ruin this for a reason. I hope you happy.
You nailed it. Nailed it.
That's an amazing verse. That's so clever and smart and insightful, and you get a story and you get a relationship and it's funny.
Yeah.
I love that line. I hope there's always snow in your driveway. What a line that is, man.
That's very good.
I hope you work at a Fridays and always work on Fridays. It's always busy on Fridays.
That's really amazing. Good, man.
That has more talent than I bet anything French Montana will ever do in his entire life.
Yeah.
I'm going to make that bold claim right now.
The boss will hear you.
Oh, no. Boss is going to get me.
But, like, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm just thinking about Race where I'm in right now. But I feel like they write really consistent music.
Yeah. If they did the beat on this, which it sounds kind of like they did,
yeah.
It's awesome. It's yeah. really good. All right. Let's keep it going.
Okay.
I got a hard head, but her ass off. She want the last name with the ring on it. Cause I pulled out a million cash, told her blank on it.
It is embarrassing how little French Montana is even in this song.
Yeah.
This is just a Sway Lee beat. It's right. barely even thrown together as an actual rap song. They couldn't even bother to do a couple more seconds over top of it.
Yeah.
He stole it or bought it, put his name on it, and shipped it out there and said, it's my track. I hate that.
Me too.
Yeah.
Let's all so be mad.
Yeah.
I also think I feel that the song could have the same problem that something like Black Beatles does, where it's like the problem with writing really good rap beats but not having really great verses over top of it is that rap is built to essentially have a single like motif for the entire song. So if you don't have someone that's doing something interesting lyrically or vocally over top of it, it gets old instantly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Black Beatles has that same effect, even though I like that song.
Yeah. The only change in this repeat of the chorus from the first chorus is the absence of the second line. I'm not going to work for you. Nobody can equal me.
But who is this song addressed to?
Man, I don't even know.
Exactly. Like, when you sit down to write these lyrics... I'm talking to French now. French.
Okay. Mr. Montana. Sorry, Mr. Montana.
Well, I'm very close. French. When you sat down to write these lyrics, when we had our birthday party together, we shared a birthday party. What was this for? Was it for me? I hope it wasn't, because I thought we were friends. Anyway, text me back. Love you. Bye.
I kind of want to just push through this and get to the second verse.
Okay.
We're halfway. It's a long chorus, man.
Yeah.
It's a weird song.
Yeah. And again, that motif kind of gets old because it's just kind of sitting there.
It's got kind of a Drake beat to it.
Yeah. A little bit.
Drake-like.
I mean, I think the piano, I think, is partially maybe why you're feeling that way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, it's fine. Like, but my problem is, like, there's no way to escalate this above fine, really, right?
Yeah, that's. I'm kind of sitting in the same spot. Yeah,
there is a kind of low ceiling for a rap beat without anyone over top of it.
But it's the best beat I've heard in a while.
Yeah, I like how it builds
as far as Billboard stuff goes,
and releases tension with the same riff, but it feels different in the verses and the chorus, even though it's the same thing. It's kind of cool.
And I think that Sway Lee can emote pretty well. He can sing pretty cool. I think it's a good, you know, mix of stuff there, but it's ineffective in the long run.
Yeah. And I wonder how much, like, I'm going to just raise the question. Like, how much growth do you think an artist like Sway Lee will have in his career?
Yeah. It's a good question.
Jumping out with a ton of success, and yet I think vocally without an overwhelming amount of effort and having so much critical and popular acclaim. Like, it doesn't that kind of create a space for an artist to not grow and to lean into their worst instincts?
For sure, yeah.
One-hit wonder.
Yeah, or, yeah, at least, like, one kind of style wonder, you know, does the same kind of thing over and over.
It's, like, the same with Lil Yachty. Like, the second any rap artist releases something that is in any way unique or popular or does well, suddenly you have to hear them every day. Like, every new song has a feature from them in it.
Or Migos.
Exactly. Like, suddenly it's Migos. Like, Danny Brown for the last 4 months. You're hearing Danny Brown everywhere. Kendrick Lamar. Literally every single song written in the last year, Kendrick Lamar is in the credits if you look.
That's unfortunate.
You love Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, but he doesn't got to be in every single song.
Dilute it. Dilute the quality.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going. I got a little drink, but it's not my party. If you love the girl, then I'm so sorry. Okay, you ain't enough for me, too much for you alone, baby, go grab some bad, bring them home, know the jet's on me.
What is this? Okay, what's he saying there? Who is you? More... Who is he talking to? Is he talking to you?
I think he's talking to a lady.
Okay.
You ain't enough for me, too much for you alone. You ain't, wait, okay, wait, hold on. You ain't enough for me. Oh, I see, okay. I am too much for you alone, so go get some bed, bring them home. Now I'm going to be able to be spread around more acceptably.
Spread around? Wait, is that one of the lyrics? I'm going to be spread around more acceptably?
Yeah.
That's his next verse.
Is that real? He says he's going to be spread around more acceptably. Is that real?
That's subtext I'm reading into and trying to bring into the forefront.
I was for Jets sure on me, Mark. Going to say that was the worst lyric I had heard.
Spread them around like jam.
Exactly.
He says also, I'm a curve my best for you.
Ew. Ew, that is gross, Ellie. I agree.
Wait,
what you want, a 45 degree or a 62? How about I give you a straight 90?
Let me get my protractor.
Annotation, let me get my protractor. Straight up, Travis Scott. This is bad rapping.
Straight up, Travis Scott would be what? Just the a straight angle? Just a, what is that?
Oh.
90 degrees, rather.
Straight up. Do you agree this is bad?
Yeah, this is not very good.
Okay, let's hear the rest of the verse. Straight up, it sounds like someone going into a studio for the first time and trying to freestyle some stuff and realizing they're awful at freestyling.
No, it totally has the vibe that he just went in and just said that stuff.
And then paid Swae Lee X amount of dollars so we could put his face, his name on the single, put it out there and get all the money. I hate that.
That's maybe conjecture, but sure.
I think he saw...
Swae Lee on the street, and he found out where Swae Lee lived, the mansion in which Swae Lee lives, and he broke in and found his golden rap book. And he snuck past the some of the NPCs who were playing Driver 3. He got the rap book, and he got in his BMX bike, and he drove to the other end of San Andreas.
That sounds accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up that dress for me, leave the rest on. Too much convo for 24 hours when you stand next to 24 carats. She left her man at home. She don't love him no more. I want your mind and your body. Don't mind nobody. So you don't ever hurt nobody. Baby girl, work your body. Work your body.
That's so bad. That's such a bad verse.
That means
verse.
Nothing. Yeah. That means absolutely nothing.
It means so little that on a sentence-to-sentence basis, it's addressed. It's a different idea. It's addressed to something else. There's no reason to say it out loud.
The only reason he says 24 hours is to be able to say 24 carats. Right. And where's Bruno Mars?
How does Bruno Mars fit into all this?
Bruno Mars does a 24 carat trademarked.
Yeah.
Maybe this song is directed at Bruno Mars.
Ooh, maybe.
He can't spread himself around with Bruno Mars enough because Bruno Mars is too selfish a lover.
Can't spread himself. He doesn't have the curve going.
He does. Also, the inappropriate Bruno Mars curve.
Swae Lee did say I've had enough convo for 24 in the chorus, and here he's saying I have too much convo for 24 hours. He's just ripping off Swae Lee in the chorus. He's saying what he already said.
Right. It's weird how personal you're taking this song.
Man, I like Swae Lee. I think he's a cool dude. I feel like he's been ripped off here.
What do you like about Swae Lee?
He just seems like he's having a good time. He's making some good beats. He's singing energetically.
Swae Lee is making more money off of this single than you will for a very long time. I think he's fine. I think he'll be okay.
But I think he would appreciate you coming to his defense.
This is a Swae Lee track. Yeah. This is not a French Montana track.
Sure. I'm kind of curious to listen to that album, though, because if that is the case, which I can't imagine is true, I think you're living in a fantasy world. It would be interesting to hear him pretend to have an album.
Okay.
Think about Post Malone.
Yeah, I hate that guy, too.
Like, I feel like that's what his career is. Like, I don't think, other than the first breakout single he had, I just think he has people feature, and then that is his career.
I hate that guy. I hate that other people like that guy. Yep. There's so much better rap music out there.
I agree.
Don't listen to the lowest common denominator.
I think this is better than that.
Maybe. The beat's at least better.
Yes.
Let's get into some of these lyrics here. She left her man at home. She don't love him no more. This is a direct reference to the opening lines of the Weeknd
song
Games, where he said, I left my girl back at home. I don't love her no more.
I was thinking that too. Okay, but is that a reference or is he just stealing it? Like, that is more maybe how I feel, because I don't really understand why he's bringing that up at all.
Yeah, I'm going to say he's stealing it because, according to French Montana himself in his qualified annotations, it reads, my favorite song that The Weeknd ever came out with. That line was just something that I felt a lot of people relate to. A lot of girls sometimes go out to have fun. They just broke up with their boyfriend, or their boyfriend did something bad, so they got a week off to do whatever they want, then they go back because they feel bad. It just happens sometimes, you know what I'm saying? in life.
That is
a
really
good your French Montana impression, though.
Thanks. It's pretty close to a Chang Smith accent, actually.
I was going to say, it's really sliding into Chang, for sure.
A lot of girls sometimes, you know, go out to have fun. They just broke up with their boyfriend, or their boyfriend did something bad. So they got a week off to do whatever they want. Then they go back because they feel bad. Yeah, for real.
It's like if Chang Smith had a baby with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
If Chang Smith and Arnold Schwarzenegger's son had a baby.
The phrase, work your body, make sure you don't hurt nobody, has been used and reused in hip-hop for decades, but it probably first appeared in West Street Mob's Ooh Baby in 1982.
It also appears in the song in Persona 3 when you're in the living room. Which is real. I'm not making that up.
Shout out to the one person listening to the show out there that appreciates that reference. You're exactly the demographic we need for the show. Call all your friends and ask them to please download this podcast and give us 5 stars.
Cut to a week from now. I'm listening to you say that about me. And then I text you and I realize, oh,
this is sad. It was me the whole time. So this verse is lazy, it's uninspired, it's plagiarized, it's cobbled from the lowest common denominator, and it's also barely featured on a track in which he bears the forefront of the track title. I dislike French Montana.
Okay. It does feel like he has very little role in the track, I'll give you that.
Feels like he has very little to say.
Yeah, it feels like he has nothing to say. For you to just decide, like almost to the end of the song, I'm just gonna quote this song I liked just because I remembered it was cool from 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
That's straight up plagiarism, man.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep it going. The last bit.
Okay. I need to get you alone.
I bet entirely he's on that track for like a minute. And that's 4 minutes.
Is it 4 minutes? Is it that long?
It's 4 minutes.
Wow.
If you played that song immediately again, I would not realize that I'd already heard it.
Hmm.
And it's going to be, I've already heard, and I'm just totally going back on the statement I just made. I remember hearing this song on the radio, and that's the type of song that they're going to keep playing because it has a nice beat. Because
nobody cares anymore, man. They just turn that radio on. They just...
Okay, Grandpa.
Shove it into their ear holes.
Call Lana.
Lana! Stare into my hole.
But no one wants to pay attention to the lyrics. They don't care that it doesn't make sense. They like that it says it's sprinkled with expletives and they hear body and booty and whatever. And they go, yeah, this must be quality music.
Mm-hmm.
This is the big issue I have with modern hip-hop rap. I mean, I know there's good stuff out there, but...
The accessible stuff is mostly terrible.
You get the offshoot tangents that's the stuff that's being played, so...
I would say the same about rock music, though.
That's true. God knows the only rock song on the Hot 100 for the past month and a half has been Imagine Dragons, and that's the worst.
Just... plunk it around on your acoustic guitar. I hated that.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah.
But how are we feeling about Unforgettable, Mark? Is it truly unforgettable?
I like the beat. I like Ray, or Sway Lee, rather, and I'm going to take it.
You sucker. Ellie said black.
That's fine. That's fine.
I'm going to give a big thumbs up to my boy, Sway Lee. I want to hang out with you sometime. I want to see you write a good song. And I'm going to give a big thumbs down to this track, saying don't ever collaborate with French Montana again.
Okay, but her first criticism of the song is that French Montana isn't in it. And you like Sway Lee.
Yeah, but he's
and
still in it. Like it's the not beat. A Sway Lee song.
So it might as well be, is your point. So why aren't you taking it?
I don't want to hear anything from French Montana in my ear holes ever again.
Okay, fair enough.
Thumbs down. Ellie, are you taking it?
No.
No. Two downs and an up. So you can think of that what you will. All right, let's talk about some good rap music. Mark, what do you think of Tyler, the Creator's latest album, Flower Boy?
Flower Boy. Hey, I really like Flower Boy. I think it's really good.
Yeah. You're not a big Tyler, the Creator fan on the whole, though, right?
No, I really like Tyler, the Creator. Who told you that?
Oh, okay.
A liar? Because that's a lie.
Probably. How does this fit into the discography, Mark? Paint the picture. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think that this is a really interesting moment to be following him as a creative person, because I feel like his initial appeal was that he sort of embodied this bitter, impossible to take down his walls, like internet guy who just says violent things for no reason, is provocative for no reason. You get the sense he's kind of a weird shut-in type dude who is bitter about the world. And I think what made Goblin, his first album, kind of interesting at the time was that it was like he was capturing that culture, but in like an interesting way musically. You know, he produces most of his own stuff. And this album is so much different than that. Like, I feel like in some ways it's almost like a coming out album. He's more personal. He's still writing really depressing music, but you start to get the sense of the human being that he is and not the character that he plays, so to speak. So I actually had a great time listening to it. What about you?
It's a surprisingly personal album, isn't it?
Yeah.
From a guy that has, at least from my experience, not been a supremely personal dude up until now.
Yeah.
And just the naming the album Flower Boy kind of denotes a softer side, right? That it's going to be a little bit more introspective, a little bit more, you know, reflective.
Right.
And there's a bunch of Frank Ocean on this album, man. They got a Frank Ocean featured on Where This Flower Blooms and on a 9/11, Mr. Lonely.
Mm-hmm. Which is also interesting as far as his sexuality becoming more prevalent in his music, because I don't know if you know this, but there was some criticism of him a couple years ago because he uses a lot of homophobic slurs in his music, and people were pretty upset at him for that. And his defense was always, I'm friends with Frank Ocean, which is a really bad argument for feeling or saying anything.
The classic, but my best friend is Puerto Rican, so I can't be
exactly
racist.
Exactly. And it's interesting now, though, because Frank Ocean has been in his tracks before, but now knowing that he's in his music talking about like coming out of the closet and kissing white boys, it gives you a different lens into where he was coming from when he said that stuff before.
Yeah, man. Maybe the person that's got the most conflicted inside is the one that's causing the most hatred, you know?
Right, which is why that title is amazing and why that album art is amazing. Like, the idea of Flower Boy and it's covered in bees. Like, you know, pain and beauty and, like, sort of this rough outer edge but mushy inside.
Yeah.
What a great thing.
It's a really interesting album, and it's one that I want to spend more time with because I feel like I don't have the full experience yet here. But it's a really interesting mix of beats and sounds, some good lyrics on this thing. For me, this album is most interesting when it gets loud and obnoxious, and I know that that's kind of Tyler's thing, but the two tracks that leap into my ears first and foremost are Who Dat Boy and I Ain't Got Time, because they are loud, percussive, and I like them a whole lot. Especially like the way he says boy, with boy, on Who Dat Boy.
Right. What was the other
one? Let's play a little bit of that. I Ain't Got Time.
Okay.
Let's play a little bit of both those. I also love Who Dat Boy because the opening sounds like angry bumblebees swarming in.
Yeah, totally. It's amazing.
Like, that's the cover image right there.
Right.
Right?
Totally.
Let's play a little bit of the song. I'm a goddamn
them outlets. You can give me some markers and I'll draw you a closet. And you know that this golf is gonna make it a pause. A nigga fresh to death like he got dressed in a coffin. Collins overalls and a striped shirt. The boy drip swag like a broken bounce and it's running. Nigga, I'm running. Shit, that cherry be the bomb like he ran and bounced. It won't stop till the cops surround him. One nigga jiggy and the other out. Some with his fucking face blown off, that's how they found him.
It's Young T.
I love that. Who that boy?
Yeah, totally. It's really, it's like it sticks in your head after you've listened to it for sure.
And that's a beat that like I've never heard before. You know, that's totally new and different and challenging and weird and creative.
Right.
Big thumbs up on that track, man.
It also comes after a series of setup tracks. And I think there's something kind of interesting to the way that, especially in this album, more than even the other ones, you're getting a lot of musically complex, like sort of jazzy, almost Thundercattian, like written parts, musical parts.
Interlude-y tracks.
Yeah, but then it all leads up, like it's just a long setup. And I think all that stuff's really interesting, but it makes Who Dat Boy way more powerful because after that, I think you're getting a lot more of that. I think Garden Shed fills a similar need. You mentioned I Ain't Got Time. 911 is a more of a bummer track, but it's much more loud and percussive.
Yeah. I think also he decided to name these tracks by coming up with the noun and then saying that noun several times at the beginning of the track.
Yeah.
Like on Garden Shed, Garden Shed, Garden Shed, Garden Shed, Garden Shed, Garden Shed. Yeah. And then he says boredom, 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 boredom.
I love it. I love it all.
Yeah.
911 is amazing though. 911 is awesome.
Yeah, I feel like that's the good track here. I got to get into it more. I don't maybe appreciate it as much as I could yet, but it builds in a way that the other tracks don't.
Yeah, totally. It's a two-part track, but it has this interesting, first of all, it's really scary and depressing that he's using 911 as like a, should I commit suicide. But it sort of has this idea that the first part of the song is maybe more like the music is never matching with his lyrics. So whenever lyrically he's depressing, the music is upbeat. And whenever he's lyrically upbeat, the music is depressing, which is kind of an interesting contrast.
Yeah, definitely. Let's play a little bit of 911. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's amazing. This is a very good album. And I find that even when, like in the first half, when things are sort of blending together, he is he's a great lyricist. And him, I was kind of thinking he was done because I kind of hated Cherry Bomb, his last album. I thought it was his most sort of puerile and least necessary thing he'd ever made. And this is the exact direction that I'm happy to see him heading in. I think there are some maybe potholes here and there on the album, but on
no,
the whole,
no pun there.
What do you mean?
There's a track called Pothole.
Oh, right. Yeah, there was.
There are
no
some
pun
potholes
intended
on the album. No pun intended.
That's Jaden Smith in it. What'd you think about that?
Man, I don't care for that. I think it's just okay.
I think it makes sense that they would be friends.
Right.
Like, I think I could see why, like, bratty, rich kid Jaden Smith would be friends with, like, Tyler, the Creator, but I don't know. I think it's okay.
I liked, lyrically, the call-out to that freestyle track he did, it's a year ago, that when Kanye West released Freestyle 4, and then he went and freestyled over it.
Yeah.
There are some call outs to that on I Ain't Got Time. Let's see if I can find him.
Okay. Looking for a water hose. Who the fuck you talking to, motherfucker? Boy, that turned out to be so proud of me. Motherfucker, they style for me. I bet they all looking from the crowd of me. And if I ask them, they bow with me. But you a house nigga, so you don't. Okay, I actually can't find it, but I swear it's in there.
That's a great clip of that song. I think it's really high energy, some great lyrics, awesome production. That may be the highlight of the album for me right there. I think that's a really good track.
Yeah, it's really good. And I think there's some musical references in there that are kind of interesting. Like, that sounds vaguely like Pac-Man. He uses the guitar a few times in that track to almost evoke like a carnival vibe, which also narratively ties really nicely with what he's saying. He produced some really good beats, but I think he's becoming just genuinely a great musician. Aside from even just the context of rap.
Have you heard his freestyle over Freestyle 4?
I never listened to it, although I did look at the headline and go, and then didn't actually bother to investigate.
I think it's better than Freestyle 4.
Okay. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
Why is it good?
Because it's just hype, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm actually not convinced that those lyrics I'm looking for are in that song. So,
wow, that's embarrassing.
I know, man. I'm sorry. Ooh. Lil Wayne's on this album, dropping seeds, little interlude.
Do you need me to edit that out because that's so embarrassing?
No, please don't. Don't please edit. Leave it in. In fact, the shame is important for my growth as a human being.
Okay.
Keeps him humble.
Lil Wayne's in here, little interlude, dropping seeds.
Yeah. Very good at having people I don't care for have verses that I actually like.
Yeah. It's just, I think it's pretty good. I want to spend more time with it. It's really, I appreciate it, but it's got some bangers for sure.
Yeah. What a surprise.
Any highlights for the highlight reel, Mark?
Ooh, let me consult my list and make sure I'm getting this just right for you. Okay, I'm taking Who Dat Boy, obviously. 911, which I think is a highlight from the album. And I'm going to take Boredom, because I feel like Boredom is pretty much Tyler, the Creator's entire thesis as an artist in a song.
Yeah, cool. I'm going to take the exact same, except swap out Boredom for I Ain't Got Time.
Perfect. Perfect. Perfect.
Perfect. Cool. You listen to anything else, Mark?
I did, actually. I listened to 4 things.
Okay.
I listened to all of the 50-song memoir by the Magnetic Fields.
Ooh, nice.
And there is way more intimate stuff on the actual full album than there is in the selections from the album.
Do you feel like you understand Kim completely? The Magnetic Fields, that is.
Him, yeah. The Fields? I call him the Fields.
Mr. Fields.
Mr. Fields. In some ways, yes. In some ways, no. There's plenty of tracks that reveal a ton about a period of his life. Like, there's a track when he's 10, when he says, "This could have been paradise," which is the title of the track, which is when his mother is sort of like dating around and he's moving a lot because his mom's just kind of taking him wherever. And he found one place he was happy at and he regretted having to leave it. That feels very personal. It feels very informative of the person he is. But then sometimes he has tracks like 76 Hustle, which is just, he loved disco when disco was new. Nice. And it's a disco song. There is one really amazing, the conclusion of the album is like my favorite thing right now.
Oh yeah.
It's called Somebody's Fetish, which is from 2015. It's about the year 2015 for him.
Cool.
It's barely about him, and the concept of it is basically, hey, whatever you are, someone out there really wants to bone you. Pull up maybe a lyric here to give you some context for that. Before my phone dies completely. It's a very cute song. Okay. Nothing's too strange for somebody's palate. Some spank the maid and some wank the valet. Some want to be struck down with a mallet. Nothing's too strange for somebody's palate. It's like a Dr. Seuss like song for wanting to bone people. It's very
for perverts.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So that's really good. I love that thing. That album is amazing. I can see why some people don't like it, because it's uneven and there's a lot of pockets where it's like his 30s are kind of boring. Like his first 10 years.
So are everybody's.
Yeah, exactly. His first 10 years are amazing. Next 10 are interesting. His 20s are great and dramatic, and there's way more stuff about his like love life and stuff like that. But his 30s are like, I'm just kind of bummed out. I don't know. I'm a musician. So I listened to that.
Cool.
I finally got around to listening to Lil Peep.
Ooh.
The emo rap legend of today.
Yeah.
And
you
totally
hated it.
Don't get the appeal. But I kind of want you guys to hear it.
Please.
Just because it's truly, it's like sometimes when you mix two disparate ideas, you don't even think about the fact that they're disparate ideas because they fit so well. And sometimes you hear them as two different ideas, but you kind of get, oh, it's kind of fun that you put these together. And then sometimes you just don't understand. And that's kind of how I feel. Here's a song called Absolute in Doubt by Lil Peep. What do you think about that?
Oh, so it's Linkin Park.
A little bit, but also kind of not. I don't know.
Okay.
I just... it just feels like those two things mashed together. Like there's, it's not like a great... it's like if you... when sometimes you have two foods, they both taste delicious, and you put them together, it just tastes like those two foods at the same time. Like there's no combination of texture.
Right.
Like meatballs and raw beef.
What are the meatballs made out of then?
Mushroom meatballs. They're mushroom meatballs.
Makes sense.
I listened to the new Macklemore single.
What?
Have you heard this?
He's back?
He's back, and he has Lil Yachty on his side.
Oh, no.
The track called Marmalade.
I thought we killed him for sure.
No, no. Turns out the steak we used is for vampires. He's not a vampire. He is actually a Frankenstein's monster.
Ah. Thank you for calling him a Frankenstein's monster and not just a Frankenstein.
I got your back, buddy. Very sensitive of me. Do you guys want to hear Marmalade?
No, but yeah.
Okay. It sounds kind of like it would conclude a like Disney Channel sitcom.
Perfect.
Okay, I'm just gonna throw it on here.
Can't nobody get up in my car today. Backseat, feeling like a charter plane. Bumping silk, the shocker, charge it to the game. Paint dripping like I'm whipping marmalade. Look at the way that I'm shining. I don't be checking the mileage. She said, how much is that rolly?
That's the whole song.
Man, Macklemore sucks.
I have always defended Macklemore, but this is a pretty bad track.
Got lucky.
I guess, maybe. You know, Thrift Shop was of the moment, I guess. Wrote that song about...
It was niche. It was very like... Oh.
Right.
There he is.
That's different.
And there he goes. Out of my mind forever.
Novelty, that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, did you guys ever think about how I'm actually a racist?
Yeah. He did try to
be
much
deeper. Yo, for real though, I thought that I was gay, but I'm not. So it's fine.
That is his worst thing he's ever done, for sure.
Yeah.
Didn't he
and it
win
was
a
hailed as the best thing ever made by rap artists. Do you remember that time back in 2012 when that was the case?
I do.
That was a bad time, man.
It was a pretty bad time. Last thing.
That's awful. Thanks. Finish it up.
Okay. I listened to another Yoko Ono album.
Ooh. Worse than the last one? I can't imagine it's worse.
Okay, how about this? I'll play you an out-of-context clip, and you tell me if it's better or worse, based on what you remember.
Yeah.
All right. This is from a track called AOS.
What does that mean?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe you'll get it. Maybe I'll play it, and you'll completely understand what it means.
Ellie thinks it's the sound she makes.
Well, that is actually not a bad thought. That might
not be a bad guess.
Okay, let's see. We'll start here. Pretty good.
She's turned into a bird.
Yeah.
It's like she's trapped in a bird body.
I don't know why I did that to myself. She has a track on here called Why.
Yeah.
This is Why. It's like promising, right?
Yeah, I'm into that.
Yeah, and then it turns out John Lennon is actually, he's a factor in this. His vocals are what happens first. But little do you know, Yoko Ono is around the corner.
As she always is.
Yeah. Like, that's how her music, the kind of the vibe is that always, you don't know when she's going to appear in her album, but when she does, you're very aware of her presence.
Oh, she's here.
there you are. Hey.
Couldn't miss you.
Like, okay, for example, you're listening to a fun rock song. John Lennon, he's yelling about something. It seems good. Oh, but what's this?
No. There's Stop Yoko. It, Yoko.
Yoke no.
Hashtag Yoke no.
She's like a banshee.
Yeah, I like that actually better than Fly, though. Fly was one of the most difficult listening experiences I've ever had.
Yeah, they both sound not great.
Yeah, but Fly was a 22-minute track where she made noises like a fly. This is not that, so.
That's good.
I prefer it.
All right, Ellie, are you listening to anything else these days? What's on your playlist? What's hot?
I have been listening to
Lana Del Rey.
Actually, let's see if I pronounce it correctly. It's the Hamilton Lighthouser.
Hey,
and Rostam. So I've been into them a lot.
Your indie cred's rising.
Oh my gosh. This is why I don't come on the show. I was pretending that I've been like trying to come onto the show, but the minute I say something, he's like, oh, finally I can take you seriously.
To be fair, I don't even listen to these guys, so.
Yeah. Well, so I've been listening to them, Lord, a lot.
Ooh, you like Melodrama?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. It's a good album.
And I've been listening to my Disney playlist.
Ooh.
It just, sometimes I'm in a Disney mood.
Mark, so. You love Disney.
I love Disney.
What's on your Disney playlist? What songs are we talking
Hercules
about?
Hercules.
Okay.
And Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Good.
How does Hercules go?
Hercules!
I could actually sing it, but I also don't want to leave the podcast in total embarrassment, so I'm gonna leave it to your imagination. A lot of like Greek things and a black chorus, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, 90s Disney movies,
they're great.
Yeah, cool.
That's been about it though.
Yeah,
what's the worst Disney movie for you?
For me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh,
are there any you dislike?
There's some that I haven't seen. I haven't seen Snow White.
Wow.
Or.
That's a big one.
Sleeping Beauty.
Another big one.
Yeah.
Look at Charlie Disney shaming you.
He is obsessed with it. Oh my gosh.
That's a big one.
That's a big one. Yeah, figure. You see Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, the most important animated film ever made.
I'm culturally sensitive to that, so. I don't really want
What, dwarves?
Yeah. I don't think that's the appropriate word anymore.
Snow White and the Little People?
No, I can't think. What's your least favorite one?
Probably Treasure Planet.
What a weird, obscure pick.
Yeah, because it's bad. No one likes that one.
Wait, did they do Atlantis?
Yeah.
I liked Atlantis.
Atlantis is better than Treasure Planet.
I don't even remember Treasure Planet.
Exactly. It's bad. What if we did Treasure Island, but in space? No one likes Treasure Island.
What's your favorite Disney?
Changes on a regular basis. Probably right now, Aladdin. Hercules. Aladdin is really good, too.
Fox and the Hound.
No. I hate
it
animals.
It makes me weep.
You hate animals?
I hate all animals.
Weird.
No, I'm just playing.
What cool. A nice tangent.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, you Mark.
I did it.
Mark, do you have any Disney movies that you can stand?
That I can stand?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not so familiar with all these weird B Disney movies that you're talking about.
Well, and give us
I liked Aladdin when I was a little boy.
Oh.
And then you grew up and said, this is miserable.
I never watched it again because I grew up.
Why is his hat so little? That's what you thought.
Why is he wearing that? Why is that monkey wearing a fez?
All right. I don't really have anything new for this week. I've just been knee deep in this Lana Del Rey stuff.
It takes
but
a long
Mark,
time to listen to that Lana Del Rey album.
It does. 71 minutes every time.
I probably put in about a solid 6 listens on the whole album.
Holy
you know, I probably
crap.
Did too. That's a lot. Mark, we should mention we were in concert this past week.
Yeah, we did. We performed.
We performed with the New Pornographers and Spoon. You and I caught them together. Pornographers opened. Big disappointment that Nico Case was not with the New Pornographers. She was not there. Mm-hmm. And they had a redheaded woman there playing the piano, trying to pass her off as Nico. And I was just really upset by that.
You
gesture.
Did. You voiced your opinion very immediately, very loudly right away.
That's not Nico.
Yeah.
That's not her.
This Nico facsimile come out, this younger Nico facsimile, and you just started announcing in a very upset tone that it was not Nico. You were looking around wildly in the crowd as if everyone was going to look at you and go, who is that? What have they done with Nico?
Texted me. He goes, you know how much I love Nico and she's not here.
And everyone just like crosses their arms and booing.
But you admitted that the show itself was pretty flat, that they played the songs and they whipped through them in less than an hour and were kind of out.
Well, yeah, nothing wrong with just going hit after hit, but I felt as if all of the performances were just very staid and like they were just playing the songs and getting ready for the next one and leaving. There wasn't a lot of fanfare or excitement or performance.
Like no fanfare on the walkout, no fanfare in between any of the songs. Just boom, 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 run down the list. Mostly stuff from Whiteout Conditions, but a lot of the older tracks too.
Yeah, and you know, it's like, whatever, Spoon did the same thing. It's cool that they have enough singles or songs that might as well be singles on their new albums that they can just play those, but I feel like I was saying this to you after we walked out. It becomes clear why Nico Case is giving fewer and fewer like starring vocal roles in those songs if she's not touring with them. And you start to feel like it's not really the same band. It's more the frontman's band now than anything else, at least in terms of feel. And it's less ambitious music as a result, I think, for a supergroup to stop being a supergroup and just being the one person leading it. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Spoon, I thought, was awesome, though. I have never seen Spoon live before, but went in being a huge fan of They Want My Soul and liking Hot Thoughts quite a bit. And they totally delivered, man. We got an hour and a half of a number of hits. They got some deep dives into this thing, played the big hits. We got some Pink Up in there, a full encore set. It was, I think, a really solid performance from that group. I had a great time.
Yeah, like total inverse, because there were songs that they played live. They played almost none of their classic hits, only new stuff. But it was this weird experience of, like, I didn't really appreciate Pink Up when I listened to it in the album, but hearing it live gave me an appreciation for it. It was totally the opposite experience. They felt completely excited to be there. You know, they really performed the crap out of it. Every member of the band was very present. Not a lot of stage banter, but like a lot of stage interaction. So
yeah, and I'll say, you know, you mentioned Pink Up. For me, the song for the concert was "Do I Have to Talk You Into It," which was another track that kind of passed me by on the record. But they opened up with that thing, and just huge wave of sound. And Britt Daniel, the lead guitarist singer, was like so into the work in the crowd, having some fun. Just you could tell they're having a great time up on stage, you know?
Yeah, it was a good show. I was glad that it wasn't as New Pornographers was, which is kind of a weird combo, maybe, to have those two people together.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. We got that Rainy Taxi track in there, too. So that was a good one.
Yeah. Do You, of course. Do You, the only song that I sang along with.
Because that's the only one you need to.
Yeah. You just got to let out a few Do You's now and then.
Do You.
Yeah. It's great. It's great.
It's great. All right. Well, I think that will just about wrap things up for this week on the show. Let's talk about next week. Mark, it is your choice, but there's one thing weighing heavily that we need to talk about that we haven't yet, and I hope you pick it.
That's right. It is the new French Montana record.
No!
It's Arcade Fire.
Yeah.
Finally releasing a new album.
Yeah.
After
been, what,
much
4 years now.
Anticipation. And people wondering, like, man, it seems like every time they put an album out, it's really important and interesting. I'm sure that will never stop happening.
Needless to say, the press releasing on this album the week after its release has been divisive. Huge differences in scores ranging from 2s out of 10s to 10 out of 10 to everything in
Who's
between.
Who's giving it a 10?
I saw some individual... releases ranking it about there. I don't know if it's full on magazines, but human beings have made their voices heard in the internet space and said it's another classic.
Were you frozen from a past era and just now thought how to experience the internet?
Yeah. Maybe Arcade Fire was too.
Yeah, fair. That's fair.
Let's talk about everything now, and I would love to get Cousin back on the show next week because you know he's a massive Arcade Fire fan.
That's true. He's very elusive. What are the chances we get him?
He just literally moved to Reno, Nevada, so we'll see if we can track him down from the deserts of Reno.
That's true.
And patch him in here, but I hope we can get him on. We'll see.
Okay. All right, I hope.
Then let's check out the Billboard. Along with Everything Now, we'll also be... breaking down the highest ranking chart, we got Despacito number 1, Wild Thoughts number 2, That's What I Like number 3, I'm the One number 4, Unforgettable number 5, Shape of You number 6, Believer number 7, There's Nothing Holding Me Back number 8. We have to go all the way down to number 9 this week, Mark, to get our next song.
Number 9?
And we are blazing new trails, new roads, you might say, because this new single is the first country song we will break down this year.
Okay.
It's Sam Hunt. It's Body Like a Back Road. Which to me sounds like an insult.
That sounds like a terrible insult.
Body Like a Back Road implies you got bumps and wrinkles and crevices all over your stuff.
No one likes to drive the back roads.
Unless you're a country man.
Oh, maybe he's talking about himself. Maybe he's saying like, I'm all beat up and down home and country. That's what the song is about.
I need to work on myself.
Yeah. Lady, you got a back like an old road.
Someone please pave me.
All right, so that'll be something completely different. So stay tuned for that next week. Ellie, thanks for being on the show this week.
Needing a chiropractor.
Yeah. Ellie, thank you for being on the show this week.
Thank you, guys. This was great. I love talking about Lana, and I love love, so there you go.
We may have to talk about Born to Die someday. If we ever do a back-to-school special, that'll be the one for you, I think.
Okay, well, my favorite part is when you make choices for me, so good. At least we established that.
At least we decided. Shake. Good. Okay, great.
Did you handshake, Mark? Or did you just give her a command?
Yeah. I shook his hand like a dog, and then he gave me a treat, so...
That's the way I am.
That's the way, I like it.
Okay, so that'll wrap things up for this week. Do your duty to your podcast. Share us, like us, write a review of us. We sure do appreciate all your patronage out there. And even if you don't do any of those things, know that we're a little upset inside, but we still like you a whole lot for listening. We'll talk Arcade Fire and Sam Hunt next week. Until next time, play that outro music. Hip-hop in the summer. Don't be a bummer, babe. Be my undercover, babe. High tops in the summer. Don't be a bummer, babe. Be my undercover, babe.
sophistication make you wanna quit the bitch you dating. Let's skip the games, let's quit the playing, boo, let's get acquainted. Notifications sink in place even when we on vacation. I knew she'd notice like I missed the payment. Dang it, but bang it like my fingers. She prayed to God I made it, but banking like my Franklins. My neighbors start to hating.
What?
Day and night.
Huh?
We be nice.
Hey, what? Slide inside it. Diddy Bobby, Manny Roddy.
She just might become my lover for real.
Yeah, that's good.
I might fuck with her all summer for real. They better not holler if I cuff her for real. Niggas better run for cover for real. Go to bail, how I feel. Close the deal, pop a sale. Take the whip, two pills on the lips, on the rail.
Truthfully, between you and me, I'm usually single. When it's hot outside, this I ride through any hood with the top out.
Hip hop in the summer. Don't be bummer, baby.